Hear now part three of John Bunyan's Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. Then I saw in my dream that when Christian and Faithful were got out of the wilderness, that they presently saw a town before them, and the name of that town was Vanity. And there is a fair kept all year long, and the name of that fair is Vanity Fair.
I do not desire to travel through this vain place. Is there no way we can avoid it, Faithful?
Nay, none, for our path lies through it. Pilgrims that would go to the heavenly city, and yet not through this town, must needs go out of the world to do it.
Peace, my friends. I perceive by your dress that you are not of this city.
Nay, we be pilgrims on our way to the celestial city.
Ah, and your speech is strange as well. What tongue is it you speak?
We speak the language of Canaan, which sounds strange to the men of the world.
Well, welcome, friends, to Vanity Fair. We turn none away for oddity of dress nor speech. Just follow that way and enjoy the pleasures we offer to all who travel this way.
Come here, friends. See my wares. Come and buy.
Hey, what's the air? Things are inferior. Stop here, kind friends, and see the merchandise.
Over here.
Over here. Over here.
Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity.
But then what you buy?
We buy the truth, not thy worthless trifle.
Make way for the emissary of the ruler of the fair.
What is your business here?
We are but pilgrims and strangers in the world. We travel to our own country, which is the heavenly Jerusalem.
We did nothing to bring the wrath of these men upon us, except to admit that we buy nothing but the truth.
Certainly innocence could not produce such confusion.
They are dangerous men.
Perhaps. Let them be beaten and pulled in a cage through the fair, so that they may be a spectacle to all. Such ill treatment of us deserves some sport in return.
And I saw that they took them and beat them and besmeared them with dirt, and then put them into the cage, that Christian and Faithful might be the laughingstock of all the fair. And there they lay for some time.
See them now. I hear no singing now. Oh, friends, why art thou so cast down?
Come, tell us of your trip to the celestial city. Have others met you as kindly as we?
I say, cease your railing. Can you not see that these men are innocent? They return not your curses. They have done nothing to merit such disfavor.
Surely this speech is in jail.
Indeed not. What? We say that these men are innocent and should be released. They seem quiet and sober and are merely going on their way, intending no harm to any. Many are there who trade in the fair who are as worth or more worth to be put into the cage, yea, and in the pillory, too.
Why, certainly, then, you are as guilty as they who defend them so readily.
They seem to be confederates. Perhaps it is right to see that he partakes their misfortune.
What? Dangerous even when caged? Surely the lash served for your education. What have you to say for yourselves? Be careful how you speak, for I hold the power of life and death over you.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God.
Oh, so we shall see what my power is. Let them be beaten again, and hung with chains, and led through the fair, so all may behold that none dare accuse the leaders of this fair.
Good Christian, art thou living still?
Aye, but my soul is near a swoon.
Dost thou remember the words of the good friend evangelist, how that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of heaven?
And he told us also that surely one or both of us must seal the testimony we hold with our blood.
but that if we were faithful unto death, the king will give us the crown of life.
My friend, let us comfort ourselves with that, and resolve to be strong, and to quit ourselves like men.
Truly, all power in heaven and in earth is on our side. Let us commit the keeping of our souls to God in well-doing, and as unto a faithful Creator, and he shall make us strong to bear what comes.
Dear faithful, dost thou know the words that say, "Give to the winds thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up."
And I saw that they comforted themselves much, until a convenient time being appointed to come to trial.
This court is in session. Judge Pitgood presiding.
Clerk, let the indictments against these men be read.
They are one and the same, Your Honor, and read thusly: that one Christian and one faithful are enemies to and disturbers of the trade of Vanity Fair, that they have made commotions and divisions in the town, and had won a party to their own most dangerous opinions, in contempt of the law of their prince.
The man faithful, let us bring him under consideration first. What dost thou have to say in thy defense?
Your Honor, I speak for myself, intended no such... I only set myself against that which sets itself against him that is higher than the highest. And as for the disturbance, I make none, being myself a man of peace. And the parties that were won to us were won by beholding our truth and innocence, and they were only turned from the worse to the better. And as to the king you talk of, since he is Beelzebub, the enemy of the Lord, I defy him and all his angels.
Order! Order! If there be any that have aught to say for the Lord, the king of this place, let him forthwith appear and give his evidence.
Sir, there be three witnesses: envy, superstition, and pickthank.
Let them be sworn.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Now that thou hast sworn, speak in this order: envy, superstition, pickthank.
My lord, this man faithful, notwithstanding his plausible name, is one of the vilest men in our country. He neither regardeth prince nor people, law nor custom, but doth all that he can to possess all men with certain of his disloyal notions, which he calls principles of faith and holiness. And in particular, I heard him once myself affirm that Christianity and the customs of our town of Vanity were diametrically opposite and could not be reconciled. He doth at once not only condemn all our laudable doings, but us in the doing of them.
Stand by to see if we have need of an enlargement of thy testimony against him. And now, superstition.
My lord, I have no great acquaintance with this man, nor do I desire to have further knowledge of him. However, this I know, that he is a very pestilent fellow, from some discourse the other day that I had with him in this town. For then talking with him, I heard him say that our religion was not, and by such, a man could not please God, and that we still do worship in vain, and yet in our sins, and finally shall be damned. Oh.
Order! Order in this court!
And this, my lord, is that which I have to say.
Pickthank, say what thou knowest in behalf of your king against the prisoner at the bar.
My lord, I have heard this fellow speak things that ought not to be spoken, for he hath railed on our noble prince Beelzebub, and hath spoken contemptuously of his honorable friends, with a lord luxurious, the lord desire of vain glory, my old lord lechery, and all the rest of our nobility. Besides, he has not been afraid to rail on you, my lord, who are now appointed to be his judge, calling you an ungodly villain.
Gentlemen! Gentlemen of the jury! You see this man about whom so great an uproar hath been made in this town. You've also heard what these worthy witnesses have said against him. Also, you've heard his reply and confession. It lieth now in your breast to hang him or to save his life. but yet I think meet to instruct you into our law. There was an act made in the days of Pharaoh, the great servant to our prince, that lest those of a contrary religion should multiply and grow too strong for him, their males should be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now the substance of these laws this rebel has broken, not only in thought, but also in word and deed, which must therefore needs be intolerable. You see that he hath disputed our religion, and for the reason that he hath confessed, he deserves to die the death.
Then went the jury out, whose names were Blind Man, No Good, Malice, Love Lust, Live Loose, Heady, High Mind, Enmity, Liar, Cruelty, Hate Light, and Implacable, who every one cast his verdict against Faithful.
The jury has found thee guilty. Let him be condemned to death.
And I saw that Faithful was brought out to do with him according to their law. First they scourged him. Then they buffeted him and lanced his flesh with knives. After that they stoned him with stones and pricked him with their swords. And last of all, they tied him at the stake.
The heretic is tied like the faggots.
Where are his bold words now and his high manner? Surely our king has been vindicated.
Oh, Faithful, my friend.
We shall reap if we faint not. O Lord, let not my soul be destroyed. I see a chariot and horses coming for me.
Oh, Faithful, tell me more. What dost thou see?
I see the celestial city. Be but faithful unto death, and the king will give you the crown of life.
Faithful, Faithful!
Quiet, thou fool. She is dead.
Come, gather thy chains. Thou shalt sleep a time in prison. There will be another day for thee.
Now I saw that Christian was taken back to prison some days. But he who overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his own hand, so ordained that Christian should escape them. And he went his way, rejoicing and singing. This has been the third program in our series of dramatizations of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In our cast today were Bill Moose as Christian, Tom Burbridge as Faithful, and Bob Harris as the judge. Townspeople included John Mungan and Charles Kelch. Miracles is a transcribed production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.